Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Good morning. Now, one of the things that we do really well in the church is look forward to the next thing, right? We get a ministry done or an event done, and then we're on to the next thing. Next Sunday, we're going to do it a little different. We're going to say thank you. We're going to have a gratitude Sunday where we give thanks for the church, for our loved ones, for others, and just spend a day of worship just glorifying God and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what particularly Stonebridge United Methodist Church has meant to me. You'll be asked as you come in to fill out a little leaf that we're going to put on trees around the church. And you can fill out one, you can fill out 20 of what you are grateful for. Now, some of you, for example, may say, I am really grateful for Nelson Smith. And, or maybe not. Okay. Whatever it is, maybe it's a person, a ministry, an event, something that touched your heart, touched your life. And rather than looking forward, we're gonna stay in the present and say thank you. The other thing about next Sunday is that Amy, my wife, is a prayer warrior. She loves to pray. She doesn't mind praying. But getting up in front of people is really scary, right? Yeah. Well, I have asked her to join me next Sunday in presenting the sermon on gratitude. And so be sure and tell your friends that the pastor's spouse is going to be sharing in the sermon that day, and it's just going to be absolutely interesting. So, no joke. I was doing an interim in Van Alstyne between coming here and my last church that I served. And I was talking to, and you may have heard me tell this story, if please forgive me. I was talking to a man that had just been diagnosed with cancer, and I said to him, I want to come over to your house, and I want to pray for you. And he said, could you bring Amy with you? And I said, sure, why? He says, I've heard her pray. I want her to pray for me. And I thought, okay, that is really cool. That is really cool. Others know her as I know her, as an absolute warrior when it comes to prayer. Thank you, sweetheart. Let's pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength, our redeemer. May these words be your words. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. John Eldridge, in his book, All Things New, begins with these words. We could sure use some hope right now. We could sure use some hope right now. No doubt, there's a lot of fear and anxiety going around these days. Eldridge further in his analysis quotes Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:13. These three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. These are the great powers of the Christian faith. Eldridge continues, a life without faith has no meaning. A life without faith has no meaning. A life without love isn't worth living. A life without love isn't worth living. And a life without hope is a dark cavern from which we cannot escape. Life is full of challenges. Challenges that cause us to question each of these: faith, hope, and love. But for me, it has been in the darkest hours of my life that I have experienced God's presence most powerfully. It's as if God knows what I'm going through. God does know, obviously. And it's at those moments that God's presence is with me. And though I may be hurting on the inside, I may be struggling on the outside, I know that God is with me. God is with me. Life is full of challenges that cause us to question these things. But I am reminded throughout the scriptures, even when I just are taking the next step, that the love of God is stronger than any evil in this world. That's why I'm preaching this sermon today, a sermon on hope. Now, I'm talking about heaven, but when you talk about heaven, it's really about hope. It's about hope. We need hope for a better tomorrow, a better life to come. And I believe that's why the Bible speaks so much about heaven. Almost 700 times in the Bible, heaven is mentioned. Almost 700. You remember last week's sermon? You remember how many times hell is mentioned? None in the Old Testament, and less than 30 in the New Testament. Well, what do you think the Bible's trying to tell us here? What's most important to our lives? And that is the promise of a better life to come. The promise of a better life to come. In fact, 54 out of the 66 books in the Bible speak of heaven. Heaven is not just God's promise of what comes next. Heaven is our goal on earth when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so the call here is to do all that we can to narrow the gap between the things of this world and the things of heaven. In Christ, we are a living hope. In Christ, as we live for Christ, we are a living hope. And as we live for Christ and come to know Christ more, we bring heaven a little closer. Not just in terms of what it will be after this body is done, but now, here, in this place. In Revelation 21, which is the best description of heaven in the entire Bible, John begins his description with these words: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven, from the throne, saying, 'See, the home of God is coming among mortals. He will dwell with them, they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Heaven is the promise of a life of joy and delight. And in a world of hatred and fear, we need to know that there is a place of perfection, a place of peace, of love and harmony, a place where God is wholly and completely in charge. As Christ's followers, we claim the promise of a glorious heaven that awaits us. The Bible begins with the picture of what we hear in Revelation. In Genesis 1 through 3, the Eden paradise is a place where heaven and earth came together. Heaven and earth were one. All was in order. No death, no suffering, no toil. But the rebellion of humanity undermines the perfection of Eden. And the moment that Adam and Eve took their own paths, they blocked the ways and intentions of God for them. In their effort to find their own way without God, the separation between God and creation began. But despite our failure, as we see from the Bible, God never gives up on us. From the moment that Adam and Eve separated themselves from the perfection of Eden, the Bible tells the story of God's working to bring creation back together. And Jesus is the lightning rod moment of God's eternal salvation for us. Jesus is the revelation of what God is trying to do in this world. And in Revelation, John speaks to the moment when all creation is made new and whole again, the returning of all things to the Eden that God created. Now, does that make sense? as we look at the Bible, begins with perfection in Genesis, and it ends with perfection in Revelation. We live in the in-between time. We live in the in-between time. We live in the time where there is still a struggle between good and evil, between hatred and fear. The time when the perfection of Eden and when heaven and earth will be new and one again. And in the meantime, hear this. As brothers and sisters in Christ, it is our job to bring heaven to earth. It is our job to bring heaven to earth. In these moments of worship, for example, as we gather together, yes, we want to worship. Yes, we want to experience the music. Yes, we want to hear a decent sermon from Pastor John. But really what we're trying to do with our worship is to bring heaven down to us. In these moments, they may be few, to make a connection between heaven and earth. To make a connection between who we are and who God has called us to be. When John describes his vision of heaven, he uses the Greek word hererio. It's the same word that describes how the disciples saw the resurrected Jesus, with eyes wide open and spiritual understanding. John doesn't see heaven, as he describes it, with physical eyes. He tries to describe it with physical eyes and with physical words, but what he sees here is an eternal, divine, supernatural heaven. In Revelation 21, 9 through 24, John is trying to explain his vision of heaven in earthly terms. It is something totally outside of his experience, and so it's difficult to do so. And when we read this passage, it's better to see the whole sum of what John is saying. There are key elements in the description. Heaven is pure, like a bride, referring to the purity of Christ and what he is bringing back to creation. The expanse is beyond anything on earth. The translucent golden streets, the gates of pearl, the foundation of jewels, and the perfect dimensions give us a picture of a place so incredible it is beyond human understanding. There are no words to describe what John is really trying to tell us about heaven. This is a place you do not want to miss. This is a place you don't want to miss. Now, Amy challenged me between the services because I said this. I said, do I really believe that there are streets of gold and pearly gates and a foundation of jewels and all that stuff? It could be, okay, I'll give into that. It could be, but what I really believe is happening here is that John is seeing heaven in all of its glory, and the only words that he has is streets of gold and pearly gates and all these jewels. It's absolutely incredible. I can just see, you know, John's hair must be back and there must be this huge light. And John's just going crazy as he's writing down as fast as he can, trying to describe this place that is indescribable. The Apostle Paul speaks to this limited understanding in Corinthians. He speaks of our need to see the things that God has prepared for us with spiritual eyes. He says, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, heaven is not a place you want to miss. No matter how tough life might get, do not compromise the promise of our eternal home. The goal of this life is to get our spiritual citizenship in order, to seek the ways to bridge the gap between heaven and earth, to live not only in anticipation of what is to come, but what might be and can be a part of our lives today. We are meant for so much more than just this physical life. Heaven is the place of peace and harmony we long for. And this is the place we do not want to miss. This heaven is a place where the images of danger and hostility have no place in God's kingdom. This is the heaven that Jesus promises, a heaven where, as John says, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. This is a place we don't want to miss. We get an understanding of heaven and the kingdom of God in Jesus' teaching. In heaven, Jesus teaches us, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Now that's totally contrary to what we know, right? The first are going to be first. And the last, sorry, you're going to be last, but not in heaven. In other words, there is no competition in heaven. There's no need for it. There's no power syndrome. There's no political system. All stand in peace as equals before God. There is no need for first and last. There is no need for who's in charge and who is not. For in heaven, God is in charge. And all will be unified in peace. Jesus says that the greatest are the servants. For the servants are those who truly bring heaven and earth together. He puts children as a priority. This is a place so secure that the innocent faith and trust of a child has the greatest value. This is a place we do not want to miss. So as God became flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus, we see something of heaven when we see Jesus through the Gospels. Heaven comes to earth as Jesus performs miracles. Heaven comes to earth as he heals the sick. Heaven comes to earth as he casts out demons. Heaven comes to earth as he quiets the storm and raises the dead. Heaven comes to earth as he denounces and rebukes anything that has no place in God's kingdom. Jesus opens the door to heaven, bringing heaven and earth together in the miracles that he performs, in what he teaches, in the unfolding story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We get a glimpse of what God has intended for us. So why is understanding of heaven so important to hope? Heaven gives us a picture of what is in store for us. The scriptures indicate that we will have a distinct existence in heaven. We'll recognize others. When I read the Bible, all those passages on heaven, the only thing that I can see there is that we will know each other. We will know each other. There will be a great reunion of God's people in heaven. I had a seminary professor that said, heaven is like, you know, you go there, and all the people that have gone before you have made signs, and they're waiting at the pearly gates with those signs that say, "Welcome home. This is where you were made to be." The other reason why it's important to know heaven as hope is that we can work for heaven in this place. In this place. By our actions, by our faith, by our love, by our hope, we can bring heaven and earth together. When we worship together as God's people, when we pray, when we work for God's peace and justice, when we hear God speaking through the words of the Bible, when we strive to alleviate pain as God's people, we are bringing heaven to earth together in this world, in this place. Yes, it is a time of us making sure about our citizenship in the place that God has prepared, but it is also a part of our task to bring heaven and earth together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come to this place. Come to this hour. Come to this world. Bring your heaven with you that we might one day be more than we could ever be on our own. And as this separation narrows, so hope grows. As this separation narrows, God's future for us comes into focus. As this Separation narrows. Our hearts explode with anticipation of what God will do next. This is why we try to help our church members so much to grow in their faith through Sunday morning groups, Bible studies, special classes, midweek study groups, through our worship, through our prayer time, through our events, through whatever we do. It is our intent to help people to understand and more fully have faith in Jesus Christ so that, whether it be in their homes, in their business, or wherever else, maybe for a moment, for a glimpse, heaven and earth can come together. Eldridge closes his book with these words. So we could sure use some hope right now. Our world needs hope now more than ever. Let us move forward with the assurance and confidence that God is already in our future with the making all things new. Let us put aside fear and anxiety, bitterness and anger, resentment and regret, and claim the life that God has already done for us. He goes on to say, come with me. Risk with me. Reach out for just a moment. Let the Spirit surround you. And let hope explode with new possibilities. One more image, and then I'm done. Have you ever been to the park and watched a mother duck with her ducklings? Have you ever watched them, how they'll come out of the water, and they'll take a little trip, and the ducklings are struggling and to keep up with their mama? You know, they're quacking. You can just almost hear them say, wait up, mom, wait up. You're going too fast. But the ducklings' little feet just aren't, they're not big enough. And their webbed feet weren't really made for solid ground. It's almost painful looking and watching as they try to struggle along. But then, when they return to the water, that clumsy and slow walk becomes an excited splashing and swimming. You can almost hear them shout, I was made for this. I was made for this water. I was made for what God has made me to be. As followers of Christ, as children of our Heavenly Father, as those made in the image of God, as aliens in this present age, spiritual beings in this earthly place, heaven is our place. Heaven is our place for which we have been made. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you, and we praise you for heaven. And we pray, oh God, that you would enable us, you would inspire us, you would help us in our lives, in our beliefs, in our faith, to strive to work for you, to bring heaven and earth, not just to wait for heaven in that day, but to work for it right now. For in the moments that heaven and earth come together, the impossible happens. Lives are healed. Families are changed. People are made new. And so we thank you in advance for what you're doing and what you're going to do. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.